Recordings have started.
Thank you very much, Rizzi. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information PDP Working Group call on the 11th of June 2015. On the call today, we have Chris Dillon, Peter Green, Petter Reinforth, Rudy Vansnick, Sarah Bocchi, and Jim Galvin. We received an apology from Peter Dunbar. From staff, we have Julie Headland, Lot Hoffman, and myself, Matthew Kerwin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Chris.
Thank you very much indeed, and let us move into agenda point three, which is the statements of interest, and this is a sort of formal part of the meeting in which we need to ask you whether your statement of interest has changed since our last recent meeting. Hearing nothing and seeing nothing, that means that we can move forward into the main part of the meeting, or one of the main parts, which is our final look at the final report. I'd like at this point to thank two colleagues who sent in edits over the actually neither of whom is present, but I'll do it anyway. Two colleagues who sent in edits over the last few days, so this is Amar and Justine sent in edits, and once the report appears in the Adobe Connect, basically the idea is that the version which we will see is basically addressing Amar's and Justine's comments, and there were a lot of proofreading things and one or two things. I think I'd mentioned CCTLDs at one point, and that's got that has got omitted. Basically, fairly straightforward edits. And we have received from Petter a substantial edit, and we've been having a lot of trouble with the latency on the list, so we've been sending messages to the list and they haven't been displaying for some amount of time, and I think this could have happened on this occasion, but anyway, so we have been asking whether we have full consensus or only consensus, and we had been thinking that we had full consensus. But actually, as we know from our meetings over the weeks and months, the reality is that a lot of these things are controversial with IPC, and Petter is saying that they do not agree with one of the recommendations. I think it's just one, but it may conceivably be more. That's recommendation number one. That means that we need to make that clear, and I believe that does change the consensus level. But I can see Petter has his hand up. So Petter, would you like to pick this up?
Yes, Petter here. Thanks. I'm sorry to be late, but I hope that it's possible to just, I don't know where in the document by the end, if I can put forward some just quick minority statement. And not to getting everything to be too complicated, I think it's what we have problem with from IPC point of view is the recommendation number one. I think most of the, maybe not the conclusion that actually refers to number one, but the rest of the recommendations we have discussed together, and I think I can formulate it our quick note that it could be seen as an acceptance of the other recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just not to make it too complicated.
Okay. Actually, rather than jumping in now, I can see Lars has got his hand up, and he is more experienced with these things than I am, so I'm going to... Lars, would you like to pick this up?
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, just a clarification, because Chris and I will be editing the record afterwards accordingly, obviously. Petter, is it... So I understand correctly that you don't support the first recommendation, but apart from the reference to recommendation one, the last recommendation, you can support the other ones. And even if, but anyway, so what I would suggest is that we change the consensus level, obviously, to consensus instead of full consensus for the recommendations that you don't consent to. And I would suggest that if you look at the report, I should really go to the page. If you look here on recommendation one, that we put their level of consensus, and then we put just below there, we mark your position with your explanation there, and that we do that for all the recommendations for which you wish to do that. And if I can put you on the spot, it would be great to have this at the very latest close of business today, if that's possible.
Yes.
Thank you.
Definitely. I'll do that. Thanks. I know I was late up.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. And Rudy, I can see you've got your hand up as well. Would you like to pick up something?
Thank you, Chris. Rudy for the transcript. Yes, with regards to this input and change in the context of full consensus going to a consensus, specifically as on recommendation one, I'm just wondering if it has any impact on the recommendations to question two. Who is going to bear the cost if one party says that it should be mandatory? We know that there is a cost related to that mandatory situation. Do we have to take action in the context of the responses to question two, yes or no? That's what I would like to know, if we need to change anything over there.
Petter, can you scroll down so I can see it on the screen, number two, just so to have it in front of me?
Okay. I think it seems to have got a bit stuck, hasn't it? That's a nuisance. But I think it's true. There is a connection. Yes, it's moving. Good. I think I've got control. There is a connection between the first two recommendations. However, because most parties are. You know, are actually saying full consensus on recommendation number one as well. I mean, I don't know whether we still have to answer the question in the event that just one party is not agreeing with it, or I mean, I don't know what good practice is here.
Come again, Chris. What was the question?
So, basically... If we were in a situation where a lot of, we were actually in a situation where perhaps 50% agreed with recommendation number one and 50% didn't, then I think we would have to, to make changes to recommendation two. But I'm actually wondering whether, because we're in a situation where most people are consensus right through. And just one party is not consensus on the first one, but whether we still have to make changes to recommendation two as a result of that. I mean, I honestly don't know the answer, but...
Let me just check communication two. I was just looking at the consensus levels. I'm sorry. No, I mean, the consensus level in principle is, so it's up to all the individuals to express their consensus with the various recommendations. And as far as I understood Pater, he said recommendation one and seven are the ones that he does not consent with. And so it would be full consensus for the others and consensus for those.
Thank you, Lars. Now, I've got the hearing problem because I didn't hear number seven at all. Pater, can you clarify this, please?
Yes, Pater here. I think you said recommendation number two that would not. I can't see that is contradictory.
Well, as regards recommendation number two, I'm wondering whether we can just leave it, but I'm prepared to be corrected if that isn't the best way of dealing with it. But
just to clarify, what we think is that the burden should lay on the parties collecting and maintaining the information. So registers. Again, I didn't see that on, I may read the wrong thing, but I didn't see that on number two. That's why I wondered.
At the moment, it's just indicating the other decision, but the issue is whether it's necessary to put both sides in here. I don't know the answer to that. Pater, whilst you're there, may I confirm that are you happy with recommendation seven?
This is on page 20 here.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I see no problem.
Okay.
With that.
It was just a hearing problem, and actually, Alma, I can see.
Okay. What I relied upon was the finalizing finding in relation to Charter Question 2. That said something based on recommendation 1 to 7, the question of who should decide, who should bear the burden of translating.
Oh, yes.
Number seven. No, as I said, I don't want to mix it up too much, I think that you all have done a good work on the other recommendations that are more to clarify the language and technical aspects, even if it's non-mandatory. So at least as I see it, and now I just speak for myself, I accept that this good recommendations, whether or not it's not mandatory. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much for clarifying that. Now, there are a couple of hands up, and I'm afraid I missed the order, but, what I'm going to do is just sort out the chat room first, and then we'll have a look at the hands in, upstairs. Actually, we need to wind back some amount of time. So we have Rudy asking about the cost. Then Amma saying to Petter, I imagine this to be the case, which is why I wanted to point out the option of minority statement. Amma also pointing out, obviously, recommendation number one is the big one. And then Rudy's right, the two recommendations have an association. That's also true. The association is actually between recommendation number one and the text referring to findings in relation to charter question two. Okay. And then Amma is just saying that he misheard seven as well as I did. So okay. And now what I would like to do, because I didn't see whose hand went up first, I'd like Amma just to have a word because he hasn't spoken yet.
Oh, thanks, Chris Sommer. Actually, I think Rudy had his hand up first. I think the order that you see in the AC room is... So Rudy, please go ahead.
I'm not very good at multitasking.
I'm going to ask because I want to hear your intervention. I'm rather coming back to a more global perspective.
Oh, okay, thanks. This is Amr then. Yeah. All right. I just wanted to address a question that you had, Chris, regarding whether the recommendation would have to be changed or not. I don't believe that is the case. I believe, as Lars pointed out, the level of consensus indicated under recommendation one can be changed, but that doesn't necessitate the actual changing of the recommendation itself. And as long as a minority statement is placed in relation to that recommendation, then I think we should be good to go.
Okay. Thank you. That was also what I was tentatively thinking, but you know, I'm not particularly experienced. Rudy, would you like to come back to that?
Thanks, Chris. Rudy for the transcript. Well, I'm playing a little bit the devil's advocate. as the recommendation one is a quite strict black and white. It's a yes or no. There is no gray in between. It means that it has an impact on the question two anyway. And as Peter was argumenting that when this question would be asked to IPC, who should bear? I heard him saying, registry, registrar. That puts a weight on one of the parties that, in this case, would have to react to that statement too, I think. So I'm just trying to play the devil's advocate and having in front the meetings in Buenos Aires, there could be a lot of discussion back and forth and putting the whole question in the direction of yes, but please before you put it as a final motion, have this answer integrated in your report. That's just playing devil's advocate, no more, no less.
Thank you very much for that other opinion. I think it's very useful and helpful. Now, I think I do remember the order this time. Lars, would you like to add something at this point?
Sorry, Chris, no, it's an old hand. I apologize.
Okay, no trouble at all. Well, we have somebody else with his hand up. Amma, would you like to pick this up?
Yeah, thanks, Chris Sommer, again. And I just wanted to come back to Rudy's last comment. Of course, the charter question that we have here is not on deciding who should bear the burden. It's on who should decide who should bear the burden. And in answer to that question, if I am not mistaken, I don't believe it's the IPC's view that the registries and registrars should make that decision. I'm guessing they might think someone else should make that decision. I'm not sure we've actually heard from the IPC on an answer regarding charter question number two. When the IPC comments came in during the public comment period, they indicated who they would like to bear the burden, but they never indicated who they think should decide or who should make that decision. If Petter or the IPC would like to include the answer to that in a minority statement, I think that would be fine as well. But I would point out that this information wasn't actually shared with the working group at any point, at least as far as I recall. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that, Amma. This grammar in the, and I can see Lars is agreeing with you, As far as I know, this question hasn't been answered. The grammar in this charter question has caused endless confusion right through this process. If I ever see a PDP which uses, you know, who should decide, who should bear, I mean, this sort of grammar has, it just hugely slows things down. If I ever see that again, I will scream. We have just fallen into this trap so many times over the course of our calls. Just something about it that's really difficult to understand. Petter, would you like to pick this up?
Just quickly, I think that the initial comments from IPC was that we had no objection to the recommendation, and we put forward some notes. So, as you said, there was no clear yes to that. I read the version we have now, read it again, and as I said, I hope and I think still that we can deal with just noting on recommendation number one. That would be the best.
Yes. Okay. That and then with a minority statement. I, as far as I know, that would probably sort us out here. I mean, it's also possible that that the change from full consensus to consensus could cause issues elsewhere in the document. So I don't know, Lars, what you think about this, because we're actually fairly short of time before the deadline now. But exactly what? In fact, actually, we are majorly straying into the next steps and procedures. But perhaps we should do a bit of that now, because I think it would be useful. And I can see you've got your hand up. Lars, would you like to address this?
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, this is Lars. So the next major step is to submit, once this is signed off, never mind when, but once it's signed off, the next step is to submit a motion to the GENESA Council for their consideration of this report. And the deadline for that is Sunday, this coming Sunday, 23:59 UTC. It needs to be submitted by a GENESA councillor, which is normally the liaison, which I believe is Amma, who just put his hand up. Amma, do you want to interject?
Lars, why don't you go ahead and then I'll
okay.
I'll add some points after you're done. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. And so as long as we if we can hit that deadline, that's fine. I have the motion already drafted, so we would be fairly good to go as soon as we send this through. So if Petter can do his changes by tonight, and then we can put it back onto the mailing list to see if anybody else has any objections. And then if Arma is free Friday night or even Saturday morning, he could send it onto the GENESA Council list. Amma, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Lars. This is Amma again. As council liaison to this working group, I would have said that it would have been more desirable to perhaps send a copy of the final report and a redline version indicating the changes from the preliminary report, from the initial report, at least a couple of days ahead of the motion, so that GENESA councillors would have an opportunity to read it before considering the motion, but obviously we're a bit tight on time. I also wanted to point out, and this is sort of an exceptional case, which I hope we won't have to resort to. The GENESA operating procedures now allow for motions to be submitted past the 10-day deadline. But this gets a little tricky because then if a single counselor objects to the submission, then the motion would be considered not submitted and would have to wait until the following council meeting. So, as Lars said, it would be better to submit this motion before 2359 UTC on the 14th, which is Sunday, I believe. But if we do miss that deadline, we could still submit a motion past the deadline, but knowing that it may sort of will not be, it won't be deferred, but it may be rejected and would have to be picked up the following council meeting. Thanks.
Amma, thank you very much for clarifying that. I think it does mean effectively that we will do well to finish by 2359 on Sunday. I think that sounds to be the way to go on that one. I can see you agreeing with that. All right. I think let us just ask this question. I think we're very nearly done on this agenda point, but I would just like to ask whether there are any other substantial edits to the, anything substantial in the recommendations that we could still address. I think proof reading level things, if it's dots and dashes we can do, but it's just anything similar, really, ramifications from that, for example. Amma, would you like to pick up something there?
Yeah, thanks, Chris, to Summer, and I apologize for ranting on and on today. I've actually been wondering whether I should bring this up or not. I kind of like the recommendations, the way they've been presented, and with the level of consensus for each one. I'm just wondering how honest that actually is, because recommendations 2 through 7 are all being made based on the fact that recommendation 1 is the way it is. So indicating that we have full consensus on the rest of these recommendations as opposed to recommendation 1, I'm not actually sure how accurate that is. Because if you recall, during the public comments received from both the IPC and the business constituency of the GNSO, they all agreed on these recommendations only if recommendation 1 mandated transformation of contact information into a single language or script. So kind of indicating full consensus now, although this is meant to reflect the consensus of the working group, not that of the public commons, of course, and we don't have any business constituency members on the working group that I'm aware of, but we do have at least 2 members of the IPC on the working group. And presenting this as full consensus here when it goes to council, I'm just wondering what the business constituency counselor will have to say about that as well. These are just thoughts, and I figured I'd share them with you. To be honest, I was wondering whether I should or shouldn't. Thanks.
Thank you, Amma. I think it's true to say that the logic is a little strange, and it's something that could be could be annoying. So I'm actually really glad you raised it. However, Lars is more experienced. I wonder what you'd like to add.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, this is Lars. Thank you, Amma. It's a very good point, and I thought about that too. The answer is this. So, in my understanding, is that Peter is obviously free to, and Peter, for that matter, is free to indicate whether or not they consent to any of the others. Peter seems to be consenting so far to the other recommendations. He's free to change that, obviously. The business constituency, as you said, has no representative on the group. And it is also the fact that I think I have to look at the exact wording of the guidelines, But I believe that this is about, as you also said on your comment, it's about working group members. And so, for example, ALAC might have also disagreed, or other GNSO groups might have disagreed in their comments. But first of all, the group is obviously there to take this into account and either change their opinion or make arguments why those views are not reflected in the consensus, whatever level it might be. And I think we have done that. And in addition, as I said earlier, everybody is free to change, to support this or not. And we followed the PDP process. We gave everyone the opportunity to raise their voice. Peter, who apologized for the call, has I thanked him again off list, and he has not come back to say he would withhold consent. So there's nothing we can do at the moment apart from Patrick has clearly said where he stands, to include that and then call the consensus level from there. And if groups don't agree with the outcome, then they should have been more active in the process than only submitting public comments. I think that is my viewpoint. Thank you, Oscar. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that, Lars. And I can see Amar putting his hand up to agree with that. And, oh, you know, it's funny. I was just about to ask actually Jim and Rudy about their opinions, and I'm very pleased to see Jim put his hand up. Please take the floor.
Oh, Jim Galvin for the transcript. I have a question more than anything with respect to including the dissenting view in the document. What does the process actually allow? I mean, I'm not sure who this question is for, probably Lars, but if anyone has any insight, that would be great. And what I mean by that is, responding a little bit to what Lars just said, is the only way to get a dissenting view into the document is, in order for that to happen, are you required to have been a part of the working group and an active part of the process? Is there any way from an external mechanism to get that included into the document without having participated? Thank you.
Lars, I wonder what the answer to that is.
I think Amar had his... Amar, do you want to go first?
I was going to answer the question, but Lars would be happy to let you go.
No, go ahead. Thanks. Go ahead, Amar. Go ahead. I've spoken enough today.
All right, thanks. Jim, having a dissenting opinion without actually being a member of the working group takes on more than one form. You can provide this dissenting opinion to the initial report, not the final report, if you're not a member of the working group, by submitting public comments, and then the public comment is included in the report as part of the public comment review tool, which is included here. So obviously, although the business constituency does not support the recommendations that that the working group has made, their views have been included as an annex to the final report in the public comment review tool. So in a sense, that's them including their dissenting opinion, although they are not part of the formal consensus call, which is limited only to the working group members. But working group members who have a dissenting opinion are able to attach a minority statement clearly indicating that there is not full consensus amongst the members of the working group, and these are the recommendations that that the minority disagree with, and the reasoning for that. But apart from that, I'm not sure. And just to add, of course, the public comment period involving the initial report of the working group is not limited, of course, to only the GNSO, and neither is participation in the working group. So in none of these steps are limited to GNSO participants. and they're open to anyone, whether even if they're a member of any of the ICANN SOs or ACs or not. So I hope that answers your question. Thanks. And I guess Lars can fill in any blanks I might have missed. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Amma, would you like to pick that up briefly?
I'm going to go with you meant Lars, and I'm going to go with it, Chris. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. We do look very similar. Sorry, that was my office. So, yes, I'm absolutely correct. Obviously, also, one mustn't forget that the membership of the working group remains open. So, you know, you don't have to start at the very beginning and you say, well, if you only joined 5 minutes from the end, you can't submit anything anymore. So you remember that someone, Pascal, joined the group, I think, 5, 6, 7 meetings ago, maybe, in May. If he had disagreed with the statement, he would have been very welcome to add a statement to this. So you don't have to be there from the beginning, but you have to be a member of the group in order to get a formal minority statement into the paper. Two things. In addition to that, there's another public comment that goes out before the board vote. So nothing, as I'm rightly saying, nothing. You can't submit anything up before the GNSO vote. But after the GNSO passes, before the board adopts, there's another public comment where everybody is free to state their position or their support for the recommendations. And you don't have to be a member of the group, obviously. And yes, I think that is it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lars. And just before going to Jim, I'll just mention briefly that Julie has put some text from the guidelines in the window on the right-hand side of the screen, and that seems to be very much supporting the conversation we're having and the direction it's going in. Sorry for keeping you waiting, Jim. Would you like to add something?
Yeah, no, that's okay. I was listening to all of the answers. This is my first time going through the formality of a PDP process with ICANN Working Group, so I just want to make sure I've got all these details straight in my head. And this is, interesting. I'm just struck by, and Lars kind of touched on it there at the very end with his last comment about the membership of the working group being open, and I'm struck by, you know, what that means to actual voting and what a vote really means. I mean, in principle, anybody who has a particular position could find a way to overrun the working group to make sure that position is presented and held and voted in a certain way. Okay, so thank you. That explains. I'm in favor, obviously, of what's going on here and the group, and I certainly don't object to any kind of dissenting view being included, and the rules will allow for that. So thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Some very, very interesting ideas in that. I'm glad they don't apply on this occasion. Okay, Lars, would you like to?
Yeah, I just want to add something, Jim. There's, for example, there's in fact precedent, and I'm sure we'll remember this, whereby members of the working group have dissented with the conclusions reached. But because of the process being what it is, so that the group gets together to find consensus level and then they reach it, everybody's being heard and everybody's being tried to be included. They dissented in the reports, but when it actually came to the vote in the GNSO Council, it was the NCSG, I believe, on the first IGO working group, I think. They supported the recommendations, although as a stakeholder group, they actually opposed the substantive recommendations in the report. But because of how the process was run, they saw no objections to opposing what was a consensus recommendation. Amma, I'm sure, can fill in the blanks here. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Lars. This is Amma. Lars just brought up a big mess that I hope the GNSO never, ever sees again on that working group.
I take it back.
Yeah. Actually, there may be some similarities between what happened with that working group and what happened with this one. And that was a very strange situation. Mind you, some, not all, were nowhere near being as messy as they were. But that working group actually submitted two sets of recommendations. I think the recommendations were almost 50 in total. And the recommendations were divided kind of in half. Half the recommendations had the full consensus of the working group, and the other half of the recommendations only had the consensus or the support of a minority of the working group members. So there was actually consensus, not full consensus, but there was consensus against a lot of the recommendations coming out of that working group, which was really, really weird. The GNSO Council actually had two votes on that particular PTP, where the council voted there were two motions, one submitted for each set of recommendations. And technically, I guess we could do that with this one as well, but I would prefer not to. I would prefer to have just one motion on all of the recommendations and not sort of divvy them up between the recommendations that have full consensus and the ones that don't. I just think that's a bit messy and undesirable and probably confusing to GSO counselors as well. It sure was back then. Thanks.
Thank you, Amma, and I can see Lars is agreeing with you in the chat room, and that's certainly my instinct as well. This is not go messy. Now, a few things in the chat room going on, including at least one rather interesting thing. Rudy raised the question, this is it, do we have to do a vote? And Amma came back saying a vote is only necessary if the chair has decided it is necessary. Normally a vote is not conducted, and the working group is supposed to reach consensus, not vote, which is, although I'm not very experienced with this process, that is my understanding as well. Rudy saying thank you for clearing that up. And then we've got Julie saying to Amma, agreeing with him and saying the guidelines say care should be taken in using polls that they do not become votes. And yes, I remember that. A liability with the use of polls is that in situations where there is divergence or strong opposition, there are often disagreements about the meanings of the poll questions or of the poll results. And then she very much agrees with Amma. And then Rudy is saying to Julie, thanks for the clarifications, absolutely. And Rudy is saying, Amma, that's what I'm afraid of. Okay. And then Petter is saying to Amma, I understand that you strongly support 4 to 5 different recommendations. Okay. Right. That seems to have been a very helpful discussion there, raising all sorts of very interesting things which actually go beyond this working group. I'm wondering, is there anything else that we need to that would be good to do now during this meeting under sort of next steps and procedures? I mean, obviously we can still email each other on the mailing list, but we're just so much running out of time. Rudy is raising something about next steps and a motion in the chat room. Lars, would you like to say anything more about the next steps, or are we actually more or less done?
I think thank you, Chris. This is Lars for the record. I think that we'll send in a clean and a red line copy from the initial report, as we did before, to the group tomorrow morning. We set a hard deadline, and then I will coordinate with Amma to see if he can then submit the motion with a document to the GNSO Council, preferably tomorrow already.
Thank you very much for that. And actually, there are a few developments in the chat room. So Rudy was bringing up the possibility of a motion, and then Amma is explaining how that all works, which is motion shouldn't be submitted until the minority statement is submitted and the consensus level is adjusted. Okay. And then Rudy's saying, of course. And no sense of loss sounds good to me. Okay. Right. I think we can probably move into any other business. I actually only have one thing, but I wonder whether anybody else has anything they would like to say. All right. In fact, I said the same thing at the end of the last meeting, but I'll say it again because it was slightly different people on the call. And it is really just to thank everybody for the huge amount of work which has gone into this working group over a long time. That's many, many meetings. It's been a very enjoyable experience, and it's also been a learning experience for me. I've always been very honest about saying there are huge areas here I still don't know about, and I admit that. But, a lot of learning going on, extremely pleasant, just as an experience. And I'd really like to thank everybody who's been involved with this. And I have a feeling that there will be other work within this this area, and I'm certainly keen to be involved with it. So it may well be that we end up together doing similar things in the future. I do hope so. That would be very enjoyable. I shall miss it hugely. Okay. There's a couple of things in the chat room, but just go to Lars. Now, Lars, is there something you'd like to pick up?
Yeah, Chris, thank you so much. I just want to echo that from the staff's perspective, and I'm sure Julie and Natalie think the same. It was a great pleasure to work with you and Rudy on this, and obviously with all the members of the group as well. It's been almost a year and a half, but it's been very enjoyable. And there will be, when all this and if all this should go through, there will be an implementation review team that will be made up, hopefully, mostly of members from this group, because members of this group will have the best expertise in what exactly was discussed and how when it comes to implementation, but it will be open to everybody. So look out for the space. And, back over to you, Chris. Thank you very much for your hard work. It's been very much appreciated. Thank you.
Oh, when I was speaking earlier, I was really referring simultaneously to all of the working group members. It goes without saying the staff as well. We've just worked so much over a long period of time. And it's actually great to hear that it does sound as if at least some of us will be back together on the implementation review team. I'm obviously very keen to be involved with that. So what I was saying before has come true. It's sort of prediction, really. Few other things in the chat room just to wind down. Thank you very much, Rudy, for your good wishes. And Anna is bringing up something about the board. When the board is considering GNSO adopted recommendations, the ACs, ALAC and GAC can't submit advice that is contradictory to the GNSO recommendations. Just thought I'd add that. Goodness, that really... Yeah, okay, that's really... Yeah, and Rudy, in fact, is saying, very interesting. Not that I'm in favour of that in principle, just wanted to note a possibility in the overall process. And Justine is saying, I look forward to receiving an update through the email list on next steps so it's clear what is expected of the working group members, if anything remains. And Julie is echoing what Lars said. And thank you very much for the good wishes. Amma just says to Justine, working group members have the option to join an implementation review team to assist staff in implementation of the recommendations as they were intended by the GNSO / board. This only begins after the board adopts the recommendations and makes them actual policy. Aha, okay. Yeah. That's and there are a couple of things coming through, and thank you very much, Amma, for your good wishes. And Rudy is saying that we get a few months off. Good, good. and then Justin is saying, yes, that's this PDP. I was referring to the minority position for this final report. Okay. And there's a little bit more stuff coming through in the chat room. But now, Lars, is there something you'd like to raise?
Sorry, Chris, I was on mute, and it's also an old hand. It's double bothered. I'm sorry.
And Amar is also very much thanking staff, absolutely, with huge amount of reason. Okay, and Peter Green is just is typing something. I think quite a few of us will meet in Buenos Aires, and that's very much something to be looked forward to. I think simply coming to the end of this, we really need to celebrate. Waiting for one or two more things to come through, and Peter is saying a year and a half, thanks to us too. Thank you very much for that, Peter. Bit more stuff in the chat room, and oh yeah, and this is Amma to Justine. Don't imagine that there will be much to do as long as nothing in the report has changed, just the consensus level on recommendation one and the minority statement. Well, yeah, let's hope it's worth just doing a bit of a double check with the report, I think. But I think we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But Justine is hoping that's true.
But Chris, this is Amar. If I can ask a quick question.
Sorry, I missed your hand.
Oh, that's okay. Just what you just said. You said the last double check. I'm wondering what you meant by that. I certainly hope that we won't be seeing any more changes in the reports.
It's just me being hyper careful, because occasionally when you have a late change to a document, then there are always going to be proofreading things. I was quite surprised that we were able to find so many proofreading edits. Now, the thing is, when you do a bigger change, then sometimes that might set something else off. So obviously I'm really hoping it doesn't, but it's just sort of slightly saying what could happen is if we suddenly become aware of something that's affected by the change today, then we may be on the mailing list saying, look, we think what we need to do is take this approach. So it's just the sort of it's effectively a safety net. It's probably not necessary, but that's the reason for it.
Chris Sommer again. I'd actually prefer we try not to make any changes past the consensus call.
It becomes
a bit confusing, and we've all given our positions, I guess, on the report as is, and we wouldn't want to have to rethink that after any changes are made. So as far as I understand, right now we're just waiting to change the consensus level on recommendation one and add the minority statement that Petter will be providing apart from that. It just seems strange to have a consensus call and then have to review the report again following that. Just wanted to point that out, or at least voice that opinion. Thanks.
Thank you, Amma. We have perhaps been over-liberal in the past. We have set deadlines, and then we have allowed all sorts of things after them. Actually, particularly with the public comment review tool, we really were very liberal there, and I think we got a better result. But okay, this is the time that we don't do that. So it really is that is it. We will make those changes, and then that's the end. Okay, a few things in the chat room. So, so conversation with Amma and Justine. So, Amma, Justine was saying, if you say so, bingo, thanks. And Justine says, just that, from what I heard of the push for minority position, it sounds like a serious change. That was, that's certainly my, that was the reason for my caution. Justine's agreeing with Amma, and it's them saying, yes, we have been liberal, but time is tight. Yeah, it's true. I think it's very important that we do make that, actually it's not, it really is vital that we make that deadline, Sunday 23:59. We really have to make it. So, I think the technical expression is end of Mr. Nice Guy, isn't it? So, yes, it means this time we really have to stick to it. I think I am just being paranoid. Amma is smiling in the chat room. All right. Okay. Well, we are more or less at the top of the hour, in fact, and I think we're done. So I'd just like to thank you very much for another very good call during which we got a lot done. Amma's saying he wasn't just smiling in the chat room. Yes, okay. I'd really like to thank all of you for, obviously everything today, but also over the last 18 months. And I hope that we'll be able to meet up quite a few of us in Buenos Aires. So, oh, yes, what I really need to say is bon voyage. Have a very safe trip to Buenos Aires, those of you who are traveling. All right. Goodbye, then, and thank you very much.
The same. Bye.
Thank you, Chris.
Right,
thanks.
Thank you very much, Reezy. Thank you very much, Reezy. You may now stop the recording. This closes today's call.